thing. Uber. From 0 to 70 billion. The accelerated life and times of the world's most valuable startup.
Several of America's great industrialists built empires in Pittsburgh, including Andrew Carnegie, a steel magnate. Now the city is attracting the attention of a new aspiring robber baron. Last year, the ride-hailing firm Uber swooped down on a robotics research center run by Carnegie Mellon University in search of autonomous vehicle expertise. It has been testing self-driving cars on Pittsburgh's roads for months and will soon begin offering customers the chance to request rides in one. Since the launch of its first smartphone app, UberCab, in 2010, the startup has attracted $18 billion in equity and debt. Today, it carries a valuation of close to $70 billion, making it by far the largest of the startup unicorns, worth over $1 billion. No technology firm in history has raised more money from private investors before going public. Its deep-pocketed backers include Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund, mutual funds, Silicon Valley venture capitalists, and a crowd of other firms. They are stalking the next big win in the technology business, at a time when returns from other assets are widely disappointing. Uber operates in more than 425 cities in 72 countries and has around 30 million monthly users. In 2016, it will probably have around $4 billion in net revenues, more than double the previous years. Originally dedicated to connecting customers with limos and other ritzy rides, since 2012, it has offered a peer-to-peer service called UberX that lets drivers of all sorts of cars offer rides to passengers using its app. This service now accounts for the bulk of the firm's revenues. The company also offers an Uber pool service that allows several passengers travelling in the same direction to share a ride. It does not own its car fleet, but takes a cut of the fare in return for providing the platform that allows the drivers to work, typically 25%, with the rest going to the driver. The company combines great name recognition with huge potential for growth. Like Facebook and Google before it, it has its own verb. Let's Uber there. Speaking to The Economist, Travis Kalanick, the company's co-founder and boss, says his goal is not simply to disrupt the taxi market, but to make ride-sharing so cheap and convenient that using Uber becomes an alternative to owning a car. Meanwhile, he is pushing into new areas, such as delivering food and packages. Last month, Uber acquired Otto, a newborn autonomous lorry company, for around $600 million and 20% of Uber's future profits from trucking. If Uber can pull all this off, it could be one of the biggest companies in the world, one which plays a critical role in the lives of consumers and the fabric of cities. The potential for profit is enormous. Worldwide spending on internet advertising, the business that sustains internet giants like Google and Facebook, will be $175 billion this year, larger than the taxi market, which is estimated at roughly $100 billion. But the global market for personal mobility is worth as much as $10 trillion, according to Adam Jonas of Morgan Stanley, a bank. These prospects go some way to explaining a valuation higher than the market value of 87% of firms in the S&P 500, and more than a third higher than that of General Motors, which had a gargantuan $152 billion in sales last year. Unsurprisingly, a valuation of around 17 times the loss-making company's 2016 revenues spurs a certain amount of scepticism. Such a figure can be justified only by lots of future growth, which will cost yet more money. But when Uber goes public, perhaps as soon as next year, in order to provide an exit for current investors, will its new shareholders be willing to tolerate continuing losses in the name of growth? There are other questions too. Are the barriers to entry in Uber's business high enough to defend it against rivals such as Lyft in America, Ola in India, and Grab in Southeast Asia, and from future competition from the likes of Alphabet's Google? Will regulation hamstring its growth? And perhaps most crucially, how will it manage the transition to driverlessness? The firm's long-term success lies in changing the way people and goods get moved around, exactly the area that autonomous vehicles will disrupt. The company feels a pressing need to navigate this technological change before the car makers and rival technology companies provide competitive visions of the future of transport and of who will profit from it.